Well, it's good to see you. And again, our theme today is thankfulness as we focus on that this week, of course. You know, Thanksgiving is probably, if I had to rate my favorite holidays, I think it's my favorite. And the reason why is it doesn't seem as much to be caught up in all of the trappings and whatnot from the world. It's a holiday where we can just, again, contemplate the goodness of God and the blessings that He has given us. And what a wonderful thing that is. And so I hope that you will have a chance to do that. And again, thankfulness or thanksgiving should not be simply annual. It should be all the time for the believer. But yet at the same time, I think it's good that we set aside a day to specifically focus on God's goodness. I hope that, again, you will take time individually and maybe even with your family to give praise to the Lord and to gather with loved ones. I'm thankful that we live in a state where they have not restricted family gatherings. For who knows when we might be together again. Things happen. Life changes. And so I encourage you to do that if that's the case with you, to get together and share things that God has done in your life or that you're thankful for. I think it's good to verbalize it. I think you need to, again, sit down and maybe write these things out and go back, and you can look over the years or months or weeks of the things that the Lord has done and the things that, therefore, we should be thankful for. So what a wonderful time this is, and our focus this morning is going to be on a very familiar psalm, Psalm 100. So will you turn there with me, Psalm 100, this morning? Very, very familiar. But I want to look into this in the time that we have, and that we will look at some various things regarding this particular psalm, that it will motivate us to be those who praise the Lord, not just saying the words, but we're going to notice a very significant and important principle as we go through this psalm that's very significant. But let's read this psalm this morning. He says in verse 1, he says, "Make a joyful shout or noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generation." This particular psalm was used in ancient times in the daily services of the temple and the synagogues. The title of the psalm is a psalm of praise, and some of you may, in your Bibles, have that as a super title or a superscription. And in recent centuries, this psalm is sometimes referred to as a jubilate, and or it is known also as Old 100th. And many arrangements of hymns have been composed over the centuries, and they will call it Old 100th. And they're talking about this very familiar psalm. And it's understandable why this psalm would be widely used in worship services. It brings to mind, I think, the principle that we need to take away from this familiar psalm, and let us not have the familiarity of it breed any contempt toward it. But let's look at it afresh this morning. Let's think about this principle, and here it is. We cannot separate the attitude of thankfulness from the action of praise. Let me say that one more time. We cannot separate the attitude of thankfulness from the action of praise. Both of these things will go together. If we truly in our hearts have thankfulness for the things that God has done, the things that He has provided, the things for which we need to be thankful, it will result in action. And we'll see what some of those actions are in this psalm. There are some action verbs. As you go through the list, you can mark them. They're very easily noticed here in this psalm. It always results in something. It is not something that we just say, we give lip service to. It's the attitude results in action. So let's divide this psalm into two parts, shall we? First of all, in verses 1 through 3, we'll call this the first call to praise. It's a call to praise God. And then we'll look at the second call to praise in a moment. But the first call to praise, we see three things within these first three verses. What are they? First of all, the voice is lifted up to the Lord. In verse 1, he says, make a joyful noise, all ye lands. The call to raise the voice, make a joyful noise, means actually and literally to raise a shout. Okay, now I know that that's difficult for Baptists on a Sunday morning. Okay, and it's even worse, by the way, if you come on a Wednesday night. However, okay, you know what? Listen, I don't think there's anything wrong with the people of God if they're doing it for spiritual reasons and not carnal reasons. Our voices need to be heard in the sanctuary of God. And that's why here at Colonial Hills, I like to hear a good hearty amen or praise the Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. It doesn't mean that we're charismatics, but it does mean this. It means that we have a sincere desire to offer through our lips, and by the way, the writer of Hebrews calls it the sacrifice of what? Praise. The sacrifice of praise to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. And we should do it, I think, more often. Hey, I have been, and I've given you this illustration, in Christian schools when we worked there, I would see parents who would not give you a holy grunt in church, but go to their child's soccer, volleyball, or basketball game, and they are out there, and they are acting like a fanatic. Okay. By the way, fan is a short for that term, okay? If you're a fan, you're a fanatic, okay? And they're shouting, and man, they're raising their voice, but Pastor, that's easy to do there. Why? Why is it easy to do it in one scenario or one setting and not the other? Listen, when we come in here, who are we praising? We're praising God Almighty, our Savior, who has saved us from our sins with the promise of eternity before us. We should praise the Lord. We should get excited about the things of God. We should be praising God for allowing us to come. Now, I know this. Now, conversely, I understand this also. And when you start reading on the history of revival, you will find this as well. Very interesting. There were some, obviously, that took it to very bad extremes in the days of revival in this nation. But it's interesting that worship is sometimes a quiet, contemplative act. And revival is not always the overt shouts of glory or whatever. Again, if the Lord and the Holy Spirit moves us to do that, we should. Not to be seen or heard of men, but it comes from the heart of praise in what God is doing in us and through us, or what He has provided for us. So it can be both as the Holy Spirit moves upon us. Sometimes this shout, even within our own hearts as we come before the Lord in His Word, may not even be audible. And I think you know what I mean by that. It can be that inward praise when we're reading His Word and He brings to mind all of the things that He has done. And we can say within ourselves, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, just as we have sung about this morning in our service. I think that we should do this more and more often. It becomes more of a challenge, you might say, in the days in which we live, Pastor Gray. Look at all the things that are going on around us. Look at the prospects of the future before us. That may be. But folks, listen. The call to praise does not hinge upon how good things are going in culture and society. The call to praise does not depend on how well things are going. God says, here is what we're to do. Why? Because He is God and He is good. No matter what happens around us, no matter what happens to us, my friends, God never changes and He's always good. We need to understand that. And I hope that this will be a challenge for you again in the months and weeks ahead, as it will be for me as well. And so, it's the call to raise the voice in praise to Him. It's a call to the nations. He says, all ye lands. This could also read, all the earth. They are to do what? We are to raise our voice in praise to all the ends of the earth. They are to know that we love God, that we praise God, and all of the things involved as a believer for the good things that He's done. Folks, listen, can I ask you a question this morning? When's the last time that you sat down in the quiet, contemplative moments of the day and just reflected on all the things that you have and all the things that God has given you? When's the last time you've done that? Again, I think that we have allowed, or we can very well allow, Satan to come in, and he can crowd out all of those kinds of thoughts saying, well, look what's happened in the recent weeks. Look at what we're facing. Look at all the things. Look at these things that, everything is bad. And by the way, if you are spending hours reading the secular news, I have news for you. You will be discouraged. How many times have I preached to myself this in the last month? I sit there and I scroll through and I think, this is downright discouraging. And I have to purposefully do this. Click it off and say, I'm not going to look at it anymore because it is not doing my soul any good. Here's what I think we ought to do as believers. I think, I'm not saying become ignorant of the things around us. Certainly our Lord would not want that. But here's what I think we ought to do, and I think we ought to make a resolution even before New Year's gets here. And that is, be in this book more than we ever have before. I'm going to tell you, I think we need it, and we're going to need it. We're going to need to focus, again, our attention on God and His goodness to remind ourselves of these things when the difficult days are coming. You say, Pastor Gray, are they coming? I think so. But even in the difficult times that we may face, we have a God who is good, for which we should be thankful. Folks, listen. We have got to set our minds on the things of heaven, and we've got to get it off of the things of this earth that are temporal. For all the things of this earth are going to pass away. All the things that man is crying for and striving for and even killing each other for in this world, one of these days it's all going to go away. God is going to judge. He is going to rule. And those who are His children will rule and reign with Him. We need to understand that. It's a call to the nations. Spurgeon, in his Treasure of David, he says, in every land, He, God, should be praised. Never will the world be in its proper condition till with one unanimous shout it adores the only God. O ye nations, how long will ye blindly reject Him? Your golden age will never arrive till ye with all your hearts revere Him. That's quite a statement. But something else we see in this first call to praise is the second thing. He says to serve the Lord, to lift up our voices in praise to Him. People should know that. We shouldn't be ashamed of it, but also to serve the Lord. Again, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. There is the attitude here, first of all. There's an attitude and an action even in this particular verse. It's the attitude of rejoicing, the idea that we are rejoicing in the Lord. Service to God should never be a drudgery. Should never be a drudgery in whatever we're doing for God. And He has gifted you as a child of God with a gift to serve Him in the church of God, whatever it may be. And they differ. But every task in the body of Christ is significant. From the person who cleans to the person who plays to the person who teaches. All of those things are important to God. And they are equal in His sight. And they are service and they are ministry for Him. We should do it with the idea that it is a wonderful privilege to be able to serve the Lord. Do we have that attitude? Well, first of all, by the way, can I say this as a pastor, if you attend here or elsewhere? Can I just say this? And your pastor, if you attend elsewhere, will probably love it if I say this. Get busy serving. Everybody should be doing something. Everybody should be using their gift for the good and the health and the strength, the spiritual strength of the body. If you're not, it's a hindrance to the body. Everybody is active. We should be serving the Lord with gladness and not drudgery. We should come into the house of God doing what? With rejoicing. The psalmist says that, doesn't he? We quote the verse. It says, what? Let us go into God's house rejoicing. Let us go into His house. Even in ancient times, there was that call for that attitude. It should never be this. And parents, you will spill over into your children the attitude that you have, and they will sense it, and they will know it. And oftentimes it's like this, because we never prepare. Have you ever noticed that we never prepare for Sunday like we should? We should be preparing on the Lord's Day on Saturday. And oftentimes we don't do that. And therefore we have those who come to church, they're sleepy, they're bleary-eyed because they've stayed up too late the night before doing things and whatnot and so forth and so on. We should be preparing for the Lord's Day. And so therefore, those who don't, oftentimes it results in something like this. Okay, kids, it's Sunday. Let's get in the car, and hopefully we'll get there on time. And let's make sure the pastor sees us. So let's go. Let's try to get there. And I guess we'll go to Sunday school this morning too. And I hope He blesses us, and I hope He doesn't preach too long, because I know I'll be hangry by the time He finishes. Praise God. That's us. That's us. And yet we don't think about sitting in front of television or a movie or whatever, or doing something for two and a half or three hours. That's fine. The only meal where we always want to be gypped is the spiritual meal on Sundays. We want it short and quick, instant. Don't spend too much time, because that's just not what I want. That's not what I need. That's where we are in America. And I'm not necessarily saying that's here in this church, but I would say this, that generally speaking, it is with a lot of churches across this land. And maybe that's the problem with what we're facing, why we are anemic and we are not as strong as we should be, spiritually speaking. But look, it should be the idea of this. Even when maybe you're not really feeling it on Sunday, we do things despite our feelings, do we not? Because if you lived according to your feelings, we wouldn't do anything. And tomorrow is Monday. You're not going to feel like getting up and going to work on Monday, are you? Okay, or I should say, rolling out of bed and getting on your computer, because most of you aren't going anywhere anymore. But nevertheless, look, it should be this. It should be, and here's how you need to teach your kids. We get to go to the house of God today. And man, it's a privilege. And what an opportunity we have to serve Him. And we're going today, and we're going to get something out of the Word, and we're going to sing praises to Him. Man, this is a wonderful day. I'm telling you, if you don't do that, parents, your kids are going to get the idea, and I think this has happened over the decades, that church is just, well, it's just, you know, something we have to endure. And it shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. Service to God must be seen as always an opportunity and not an obstacle. And oftentimes Christians view it that way. They view the privileges or opportunities that may come their way. God will say, hey, how about this opportunity of service? And we view that as an obstacle. Just don't know if I have time. I just don't know if I have the resources to do it. And so there's the attitude, but there's also the action. There is the come before Him with what? Look at verse 2 again. Serve the Lord with gladness. There's the attitude. Here's the action. Come before His presence with what? Singing. With singing. I like that. And as you can tell, and as you know, if you've attended Colonial Hills for any time, we love singing here. And I think it's because it is so closely related to the attitude of thankfulness. And I, in turn, as a pastor, rejoice in that because I think the singing here is so wonderful, it's so good, we enjoy it. And what that says to me is we have a bunch of people here who have the attitude of thankfulness to God. That's why we like to sing. Have you ever been into a church? I've been into some big churches with huge music programs, and it's awful. And the singing is nothing more than mumbling. And again, they act like, well, they open their hymn books or whatever, they're looking on the screen, and they don't care. Or at least they don't sing like it. Well, Pastor, come on. Not everybody can sing. Yes, but you can make a noise. Isn't that what Psalm 100 says? It doesn't matter. It doesn't say you have to sing on key. It doesn't say you have to be a musician. It doesn't say that you have to do this or that. It says make a noise. Hey, if you make a noise and you make it off key, praise God. Now, I don't know what Ray would do about that, but I'll leave that up to him, okay? But you know what? When we're all gathered together, praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Again, I think we have to understand that it comes from the heart. It comes from the heart when we make a joyful noise unto Him. Then there is the knowledge of God's sovereignty in verse 3. The knowledge of God's sovereignty in verse 3, which knowing who He is should produce within us the conscientious attitude of thankfulness. That's why, look, the doctrine of God and knowing about God is one of the most essential and important things that we can learn when we go into the house of God. We have to know about Him. We have to know what He's like. The study of God and who He is an ongoing, should be, a perpetual study, a lifelong work to know Him. And what do we find out? That He is sovereign. By the way, aren't you thankful that in this time of volatility in our nation and in our world, aren't you thankful today that God is sovereign and in control of everything? You say, well, Pastor, it sure seems like if the world is out of control, well, listen, God oftentimes allows man to do what man thinks, but look, God is in control. Everything is under His watch care and His eye. He doesn't let any of this thing go. None of this takes Him by surprise. He has all things planned. And so we need to understand that. The knowledge of God's sovereignty, what about that? He goes back to the very foundation and the basics. What is it? Notice verse 3. He says, know that the Lord, He is God. All right, so that's the foundation. But then he he continues and he builds on that. What do we need to know about that fact? It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Listen, what we need to go back to as far as this foundation is that God is, he exists, and that he is the almighty sovereign creator of life. That's God. Listen, folks, it doesn't just happen. This world that we live in just didn't happen. But there are many who are starting to believe that. Even some professed Christians are starting to take on the devilish idea that maybe the theory of evolution, so-called scientific, which it is not, by the way, is real and true. It's not. I have an interesting neighbor. He is a, I don't know his spiritual condition, but we're getting to know each other a little bit more over the years, and he is an amateur astronomer. And sometimes I'll go out and at night, and he's standing in our yard. Well, the reason for that is because where he lives, he can't see the sky in his house as good as in our yard. And so sometimes he'll be out there with his telescope, and he'll walk out there and say, oh, okay. So sometimes he's out there, and the other night he was out there, and he was saying, are y'all looking at the space station? And said, no. He says, well, there it is. And there's this bright light traveling very quickly across the sky. And he said, oh, and there's Mars over there, and then there's Saturn, and then there's Jupiter. And it's just the neatest thing. And to think about all of that. And when you go out at night and you see those things in the sky, look, God did it. He created those planets. And even the space station that man makes, God allows them to discover the ability to do it. Man didn't create it. And all of those things you think about, he's the creator. He created me. And this very God who knows all things says that he cares for me just as much as the sparrow and the flower of the field. Because your God knows that you have need of all these things. Wow. A sovereign God. And we notice here that he has authority. Not only is he the creator of all things, he is the authority over his people, over all people. But specifically, he is over his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Again, Spurgeon says, sheep gather round their shepherd and look up to him. In the same manner, let us gather round the great shepherd of mankind. The avowal of our relation to God is in itself praise. When we recount his goodness, we are rendering to him the best adoration. Our songs require none of the inventions of fictions. The bare facts are enough. The simple narration of the mercies of the Lord is more astonishing than the productions of imagination. That we are the sheep of his pasture is a plain truth, and at the same time, the very essence of poetry. We are the sheep of his pasture. Now, I know this morning that sometimes we don't like to be compared to that, but unfortunately, folks, you can't get away from that in Scripture. Well, Pastor, sheep are dumb. Yep, there we go. Well, I'm intelligent. Well, God gives us what we need as far as smarts go. We understand that. But there's a good reason we're compared to sheep. Sheep are really the only animal, just about the only animal, if not the only animal on the earth, that cannot survive apart from human care. We cannot survive spiritually and otherwise without the care of the good and great and mighty shepherd. Can't survive. We try to go our own way like sheep have a tendency to do, and he brings us back. And we go astray again, and he brings us back using that rod and that staff. We are the same way. And again, it's the patience, the eternal, inexhaustible patience of the great shepherd and bishop of our souls. What a wonderful thing to think about and to be thankful this morning. Let me hasten on because my time is gone. The second call to praise is in the last two verses, and I'll give you these three things very quickly. First of all, in the second call to praise in the last two verses, there is the manner of entering into God's presence. The manner of entering into the presence of God. By the way, that's a very special, again, privilege that we should be thankful for. When we pray to God, when we enter into the very presence of God, and by the way, when we pray, we are entering into the very presence of God. That's why our prayer should be very serious and not shallow. We should take time with our prayer. We should be conscientious of our prayer because we're entering into, as it were, the Holy of Holies. That symbolic place that was restricted, but now we have free access because of Jesus Christ, who says, and he bids us to come. And he says, come boldly before the throne of grace that you might find help in time of need. And in fact, as you enter into that Holy of Holies, you can do so with confidence. Not because of anything that we have achieved or done, but because of who he is and because we are his children. He says, you can come boldly before the throne of grace as the writer of Hebrews bids us come. But how do we do it? Have you in your prayer ever thanked God for the privilege of prayer? We probably should do that more often. Lord, thank you for the fact that you have bid me come, that you allow me entrance into and access into your presence. Thank you, Lord, for that. I'm thankful, Lord, that we do not live in the economy like they did in the Old Testament where they would have to go through a human priest in order to enter into the presence. I can enter in anytime I want to. My friends, that is a wonderful privilege. How often do we take advantage of it, though? If it's only in times of crisis, that is an indicator that maybe, perhaps, our prayer life is a little shallow. There's certainly nothing wrong with entering into the presence of God, and certainly those times intensify those seasons of prayer. I know that personally. My family knows that personally. But yet, in the good times, in the peaceful times, you know what? We should be as intensive in our prayers, being thankful to him. He says, do it. Enter into his presence with, what's the word? Thanksgiving. That's our word for this week. Thanksgiving. We're to enter with that word. The Hebrew word, by the way, associated with that word is used 30 times in the Old Testament. And it's often in reference to the peace offering described in the Mosaic Law. Very interesting. A thank offering. We're to enter with praise. Again, as we have sung this morning, that little praise chorus, thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the victories won. Thank you, Lord. That should be the mindset as we enter into and we commune with our God. For Lord, you, as a sovereign God, are not obligated to hear me. But here's the wonderful part today, Christian, but he does. And he hears his children, and he hears his children plead with him. And what does he say to his children? That he desires to give them the good gifts. Your Father God in heaven is not the ogre that some make him out to be, but my friend, he is the loving, merciful God who loves his sheep and leads them beside the still water, not the raging river for where they could fall in and drown. He leads them to the green pasture where they will feast and feed, not in the desert places where they will starve and be malnourished. That's our God. That's who He is today. And even in this year of pandemic and all of that, my friends, this God has not changed. Let us not forget that. And we can rejoice. We can rejoice. Or as I like this, and maybe you can take this statement with you, for certainly we need it, and we will. The sacrifice of gratitude is never out of date. The sacrifice of gratitude is never out of date. Or we could say it this way. It is the attitude of gratitude. Where is it in your heart and life this morning? Then there's the action toward God, the second part of verse 4. The action, so as there's the manner of entering His presence, the action toward Him. And what is that? It is this. It is be thankful to Him and bless His name. Be thankful to Him. Notice how He reiterates again the thankfulness idea. Why does He do that? Because it's so easy for you and I not to be. It's very easy for us not to be. We forget so easily. We forget God's goodness. One of the Psalms that I've preached on and referred to a number of times over the years, and I would suggest you go back and read it because it's very interesting, is Psalm 106. Psalm 106 is an interesting psalm because it recounts all of the negative things that Israel did. And how would you like to come to church and learn and sing a song about all the past failings of what we've done? But essentially, that's what they were having to learn through this psalm. And Psalm 106 talks about how they failed God at the Red Sea. They forgot His works. It lists a whole litany of things that they did against God when they should have known better. And yet there's some verses in there a couple of times, two or three times, where it says, after they have listed all of these things, it says, nevertheless, God saved them. Nevertheless, after all that they had done, God saved them. But here's the point in some of that. They should have remembered. They should have remembered all of those things. Look, folks, we can get to the point because we are human, because we are dust, and because God, and He realizes that we are, but we can get to the point where we can forget. We get distracted by the things of this world, our work, whatever it may be, by the things that happen in our lives, the events that come forth in our lives and are allowed. We can get distracted from the very essence and the basics of our Christian walk. And we forget often, don't we? And God has to come back and remind us. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes those reminders are not always pleasant in the way He does it. And sometimes He'll take us to the very end of ourselves, or He'll remind us and say, look, you better be paying attention and recall all the things that I've done for you. Folks, He holds us accountable to remember. And we better do it. We're to bless His name. We're to be thankful and confess His name. Let me give you the last one. And here's the motive for our worship is verse 5. Why should we do this, Pastor Gray? What's the motive for all of this? Well, again, we've mentioned this already, but look at verse 5 again. Very simple. For the Lord is good. There it is. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generation. The goodness of God, the everlasting mercy of God, the enduring truth of God. Listen, all of that is motivation for you and I as children of God to listen, to have ongoing, perpetual, continual praise and thanksgiving to our God. In other words, let's word it this way. We should as believers be thankful and praising God, listen to me, all the time. Pastor, again, you don't know what's going on in my life. No, I don't, but God does. And I will tell you this, He knows your heart. He knows the burdens of your soul. And He hasn't forgotten you. Man may, but He hasn't. We need to be thanking Him all the time. It's interesting that the word thankfulness in the old Anglo-Saxon language, it actually was the word thinkfulness, T-H-I-N-K, thinkfulness. Thinking of all God and His goodness draws forth gratitude. In fact, A.W. Tozier, one of his famous statements is this. He says, "What comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us." So I would ask this morning, what comes to your mind? Are you thankful? Listen, if you're here today and you would say, "Pastor Gray, I know for sure that I'm a child of God. I'm on my way to heaven. I know that I'm saved." Then I want to tell you, and this is not pastoral rhetoric. This is based upon what we have just looked at this morning, and it's this. If you are a child of God and you know that without a shadow of a doubt, you have every reason to be thankful and rejoice this morning. And in the days ahead, when the culture and society wants to crowd out that thinking, you still have a God for which you can be thankful. Can I just say this? Are you ready? After a certain inauguration date in January, I don't want to see any sad faces in Colonial Hills Baptist Church. You know why? Because God is still good. It hasn't listen, none of this eradicates that, nor does it erase our salvation or what we are or what we have in Christ. None of it. We'd better keep it in mind and go forth from here today and this week. Even though life is hard, it brings about some difficulties. Man doesn't understand us sometimes. Man can sometimes be very difficult to us. But you have a God who loves you more than anything. And for that we can be thankful. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. It means so much to us this morning to recall these things. And Father, if we were honest this morning, we would have to admit that we have most likely, and many Christians around this nation have crowded out these very basic and well-known concepts and truths in our lives. Lord, help us to return to them. Help us to remember them. Lord, help us to memorize Your word and hide it in Your heart that we might not sin against You. Oh, Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst help us to recall how You have saved us, You have redeemed us, and Lord, we look forward to one day that You will glorify us when we are with You in heaven. Now, Lord, I pray that the rest of this day our minds will be on the good things of our good God. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.